We're going to read some verses together, please. Reading in the book of Proverbs at the 29th chapter. Proverbs chapter 29. We're reading together from the opening verse. And we'll just read the first few verses of this portion of Scripture. Proverbs 29 at the first verse. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king, by judgment, establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbour spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. We'll end our reading just there tonight, assured that the Lord will stamp his own divine blessing upon this reading of his word. Proverbs 29, please. And the words of that first verse are our text this evening. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want to speak to you tonight for a little time on the theme of wasted warnings. Julius Caesar, the very famous Roman emperor, he died on the 15th day of March in the year 44. There were 60 of his senators who had conspired against him. And on that day, there were 23 stab wounds that were inflicted upon Julius Caesar. The tragedy is this. His death, in many ways, could have been avoided. It could have been avoided for this reason. Julius Caesar had received many warnings of the plot that was then hatched and conspired against him. For example, his wife had received a bad dream. And in that dream she had received a warning. She had seen in advance the things that were going to befall her husband. And she had told him of the dream. She had told him of the bad dream that it was and all the things that she had seen. And to a certain extent, she had persuaded him not to go to the Senate on that dreaded day. Another warning that he'd received was from a friend who had heard all that was taking place, and the friend gave him a letter of warning containing the names and the details of the conspirators and of the details of this conspiracy in which they were engaged. But you know what happened to that letter? Julius Caesar put it into his belt. And after his body was found, after he was dead, the letter was still in his belt, unopened. Caesar had been warned over and over, but he didn't listen. He didn't heed the warnings. We'd have to say tonight, they were wasted warnings. And I wonder, my friend, is that true of you? Is that true of your life? You've been warned. You've been warned of your danger. You've been warned of the danger of your soul. You've been warned about eternity, the need to be ready, the need to be saved. And yet you haven't listened. You haven't obeyed. You haven't heeded the warnings that have come with such power and such clarity to your heart. They have been wasted warnings. How sad that is. I want us to think a little tonight about that theme, especially from this text of Scripture, Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Notice, first of all, that the text tells us that the warnings were repeated. If you notice the words of the text, it says, he that being often reproved. Often reproved. You've been warned many times of your need of Christ. God has spoken to you over and over, and still you're not saved. Still you haven't turned to Him. The Reverend Ian Harris, the minister of our Anna Long Church, was out in the land of Nepal over the Easter period. He was conducting some ministry meetings with the pastors and leaders of the church out there in that land. Our mission board and our missionary council are in support of the work that has been engaged in among the people in Nepal. The Reverend Wesley Graham had accompanied Mr. Harris out to those meetings. He preached at one service when a number of people were saved. They came to Christ. And he asked Paul Thapa, the leader of those churches, how many times have these people heard the gospel, the people that were saved? The answer that he received was two or maybe three times. Isn't that staggering, men and women? Only heard the gospel a few times. Twice, three, maybe four times at the most. And they heeded the warning. And they turned to Christ. Now you ask yourself tonight, how many times have you heard the gospel message? Let me give you an idea. If you've heard the gospel once a week, and for some of you here tonight, it has been much more. You've heard it twice or three times a week right throughout your life. But if you've only heard the gospel once a week for 20 years, that's 1,000 times. Isn't that staggering? 1,000 times you've heard the word of God. Some of you have lived much longer than 20 years. That means maybe 2,000-3,000 times at least you've heard the gospel message. Imagine hearing a warning 1,000 times and never heeding it. Imagine, my friend, hearing a warning of hell, of the dangers of perishing in hell for all eternity. Imagine hearing that warning 1,000 times and more, and still you haven't listened. Still you haven't responded. Still you haven't fled from the wrath that is to come. How foolish. How foolish that is. Often reproved. That's a description of every unconverted person in this meeting tonight. You've been brought up under the gospel. You've known the word of God and the gospel message, as we often say, from your mother's knee. What blessings, what privileges, what opportunities have been yours. You think of it Sunday after Sunday, perhaps twice every Sabbath day. You've heard the gospel message. You've been through the Sunday school. You've been through the children's meetings. You've been right through the youth fellowship. You've sat at many a gospel mission, maybe attended every night of the gospel mission. And still you're not right with God. What mercy, my friend, you've known. How often God has warned you. How often the Spirit of God has reproved you. And still you're not saved. Still tonight there's no hope for your soul. And you're not right with God. The warnings have been repeated. You'll notice in the second place, the text says that the warnings were rejected. It goes on to say, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. That expression, hardeneth his neck, it comes from the oxen. The idea is that the farmer, the owner, the master, he wants to put the yoke upon the neck of the oxen, so they can go out to plough the field or pull the cart. But the old oxen is rebellious. Remember we mentioned a little about rebellion in the meeting this morning? Well, the old oxen is rebellious. It doesn't want the yoke. It doesn't want to submit. So it hardens its neck against the yoke and against its owner. And maybe, my friend, That's what you have been doing. You know, the outward hardening. The outward hardening of the neck is a picture of the inward hardening of the heart. You see, God's warnings are often rejected. Even when God speaks with such patience, even when the Lord speaks in such mercy to the heart of a soul, those warnings are still rejected. You think of it, 1,000 warnings. Is that true of you tonight? And those 1,000 warnings have received 1,000 rejections. Is that what you have done? Is that how you've lived your life? Is that the response you've given every time you've sat in a gospel meeting such as this? I want to tell you tonight, men and women, I want to tell you plainly, what happens every time the gospel is rejected? It's a very important truth. What happens is this: your heart gets harder. I'd like you to take that in tonight. Your heart gets harder to the things of God. I want you to understand, my friend, your heart will not always be as soft. Your heart will not always be as open to the gospel as it is this day and as it is as you sit in this gospel meeting. Do you remember Pharaoh, the ruler, the king, the monarch of Egypt? Doesn't the Bible tell us plainly that he hardened his heart? His heart didn't get softer. As the time went by, his heart got harder. He heard God's message. He saw the miracles. He witnessed the power of God at work in the land. And his response was not to bow the knee humbly and in repentance before God. His response was to harden himself and to harden his heart against the God of heaven. And my friend, if you go on without Christ, it'll be the same for you. I'd like you to take that in tonight. If you persist to go on without receiving Christ as your Savior, your heart will get harder to the things of God and to the gospel message. I mentioned to you earlier W.A. Criswell, his predecessor in the First Baptist Church in Dallas in Texas, was a man called George Truett. George Truett was a great gospel preacher. He conducted the funeral on one occasion of a member of his church. He rode in the hearse back from the funeral parlor back again to the cemetery. And in the hearse as he rode that day, there was a member of his congregation, a man without Christ, a man that knew not the Savior. And George Truett took the opportunity to speak to that man again about the things of God. He pleaded with him. And this is what that man said. This is the response that he gave. He said, "Mr. Truett, when I first came to your church and I first sat under your preaching," he said, "I thought my heart would burst if I didn't give it to Jesus Christ. But," he said, "I put it off and I put it off until the feeling has left me now." Do you know what happened to that man? He hardened himself against the gospel. He said, "It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how strong you preach. It has absolutely no effect upon me today." And my friend, for you it could be the same. Maybe there's one in this meeting tonight and that's your experience. You say, "Once I was afraid. Once I trembled. Once I was convicted when I sat in meetings like this. But now you've got used to it. Now the strongest, the hottest preaching doesn't trouble you in the slightest." My friend, that's sad. Sad beyond description. Do you know what has happened in your life? Your heart has been hardened to the gospel message. And that's a fearful thing. A fearful thing. In meetings like this, we often plead with sinners to repent and to turn to the Savior. And I want to renew that plea once more in this gospel service tonight. I urge you, my friend, with all my heart, that you would repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You ask me, why should I repent? Well, there are many reasons that we could give. But one is this. One reason why you should repent tonight is because sin has a hardening effect upon the heart of man. Do you remember what the book of Hebrews says? Exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, the reality is this. The longer you go on without Christ, the longer you go on in your sinful pleasures, the harder your heart will become. Sin hardens the heart of men. And when that happens, do you know what the result will be? You'll not be concerned anymore. You'll no longer hear God's voice. You will no longer feel the strivings of the Spirit of God. And less, my friend, there will be any hope that you will ever be saved. I want to say to you tonight, beware, beware rejecting the warnings of God's Word. George Whitefield had many interesting experiences during his ministry. On one occasion, there was a man came to the meeting intent on opposing George Whitefield. What he did was he brought some stones. He filled his pocket full of stones. And his idea was that when George Whitefield would begin to preach, he would take the stones out and he would hurl the stones at Mr. Whitefield, intending to hit him on the head, to hit him in the face. But as God's servant got up and preached under the mighty power of the Spirit of God, the Lord smote that man's heart. And he took the stones from his pocket, but instead of throwing the stones, he dropped them one by one upon the ground. The testimony of that man was this. Instead of the man breaking Whitefield's head, God broke that man's heart. And men and women, that's what's needed. That's what's needed in gospel meetings like this. That God might break your hardened heart. That heart that has been hardened through sin. Remember, his word is as the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And oh, that we would feel the power. Oh, that we might feel a blow of the hammer of God's word upon the sinful hearts of men and women in the day in which we live. The warnings were rejected. There's one other thing I want you to see in the text. And that is that these warnings were replaced. The text says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Take that in. I want you to see, men and women, you can reject Jesus Christ for the last time. And maybe that's what someone in this meeting will do tonight. Now remember, God is patient. There is no one that is more patient than God. If you think of Methuselah, the oldest man who ever lived, Methuselah lived to 969 years. The name Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall come. It was a prophecy. His name was a prophecy of Noah's flood. 969 years. That's how long God was patient with that sinful generation. You be in no doubt tonight. The God of heaven is a patient God. He's long-suffering towards sinners. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to be saved. He's not willing tonight, my friend, that you should perish. Oh, he's patient. But you never forget, there's a limit even to the patience of God. We sometimes sing the words in that hymn, O sinner, God's patience may weary some day. And perhaps as far as you're concerned, that day will be today. You see, if God continually speaks to you, and you continually refuse to listen to what he has to say, then God will intervene. That's the teaching of this text. He will intervene in a dramatic manner. And he'll replace the warnings
Those warnings that have been repeated in mercy to your heart. He'll replace those warnings. What with? With death and destruction. You note the words of the verse? It's not just talking about death. It's talking about destruction as well. He says, suddenly destroyed. Destruction is another name for hell. Remember, the broad road leads to destruction. And the message of Solomon in this verse is, you could be swept out into hell in a moment of time. And I want you to see that tonight. In a moment of time. I read a story recently about a young lady who attended a gospel campaign in a Presbyterian church in the state of Philadelphia, out in the United States of America. 2 weeks of gospel meetings. The young woman attended the mission every other night. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, she went to the mission. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, she was at the dance. Her schedule read like this. Mission, dance, mission, dance, mission, dance. But the second week there was a change. It was mission, dance, mission, dance, and then the coffin. She died. A young woman in the best of health, in eternity, without a warning. Suddenly destroyed. When we lived in South Wales, we heard about a very famous Baptist preacher by the name of Gomer Jones. As well as being a Baptist preacher, he had the gift of the evangelist. He had a burden for the Welsh miners. He'd go out into the mining towns, he'd take a hall, and he would hold gospel meetings to reach those men for Jesus Christ. One night in the meeting, God spoke in a very definite way. There was a young lad sitting down at the back, trembling. Evidently trembling under conviction of sin. Gomer Jones had never made a gospel appeal in his life, but he decided he would make a gospel appeal that night. And the young man never moved. He did something else that night he had never done in his life before. He left the platform, he went down to the back to where the young lad was sitting. He put his hand on his shoulder and he said, "Young man, do you not think you should get right with God tonight?" The young lad lifted his head. He looked into the face of the gospel preacher, and these were his words. I quote them to you. He said, "To hell with you and your Christ." Gomer Jones looked at the young man and he said, "Son, the wood for your coffin is already in the undertaker's yard." He turned, he went back to the front, he dismissed the meeting, and he went back to the guest house where he was staying. As you can imagine, he didn't sleep much that night. He tossed and turned the whole night, thinking of the events in the gospel meeting. But the thing that troubled him most of all was not the fearful statement of the young man. It's, "Why did I say to that young man, the wood for your coffin is already in the undertaker's yard?" The next morning he got up early. He was sitting at his breakfast. He looked out into the street. There was a lot of commotion, people running here and there. He went out and he stopped the man as he ran past. He asked him, "What's wrong? What has happened?" He said, "Mr. Jones, did you not hear? Last night, after your meeting, the men went on the night shift down the mine. There was an explosion. 5 men were killed. And among the 5, the young lad that sat trembling at the back of the gospel service. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck," listen to it carefully, "shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy." Men and women, realize tonight how very near you are to eternity. You're only a breath. You're only a heartbeat from hell. Some people say, "I'm waiting on a deathbed conversion." What they mean is, "I'm going to wait to the end of my life, to the last few minutes, the last few hours, and before I slip out into eternity, out into the presence of God, I'm going to seek Him and I'll turn from my sins and receive Him then." But I ask you, men and women,
to look carefully at the words of this text of Scripture. Waiting on a deathbed conversion is only folly in the extreme. It says, suddenly destroyed. You could die in a moment. In a moment of time. Doesn't it stress the need to get ready for eternity? To get ready to die? Is that true of you? Is it true of everyone in this meeting? The Scriptures tell us, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. In other words, you need to prepare. You need to be ready to die. And that's what I want to urge you to do before you go from this service. Just in closing, let me ask you to note the words there at the end of the text. It says, and that without remedy. Without remedy. The message is, there's no hope for the soul that dies without Christ. There's no hope of being saved. There's no hope of getting into heaven. There's no hope of the sufferings of hell ever ending for you. There's a story told of Dr. James Morrison. He lived in the 19th century. He was a noted Greek scholar. He knew the Greek New Testament inside out. In his day, there was a great controversy about hell, about whether or not the sufferings of hell were eternal and would last forever. He took down his Greek New Testament and he set himself the task of reading it carefully from beginning to end and studying everything the Scriptures had to say about eternal punishment. When he finished his studies, he closed the Greek New Testament and he declared, listen carefully, there is no hope for the soul that goes to hell. Think of that tonight. The hopelessness of hell. No remedy for your soul in that place. The Savior said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. It's only in this life, it's only on this earth that you can be saved and your sins can be forgiven. All, my friend, there is for the sinner after death is damnation and judgment. Hebrews tells us it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. No remedy. No salvation. After death and after the grave. I want to stress this to you just as I finish tonight. If I could sum up the warning of this text like this. It's saying, you need to be saved. And you need to be saved now. You need to be saved tonight in this meeting. Because now is the only time that you are sure of. Don't waste the warnings that God in His mercy and God in His grace has given to you. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. May the Lord write that text upon every heart for Jesus' sake.